Today, I want to talk to you about finishing well. Finishing well. You know, in life, it's easy to start out something with a lot of enthusiasm, but it takes endurance to finish well. I'm reminded of when I was in elementary school, we had the mile run. Do they still do the mile run? Yep, they still do. Okay, well, and when I was in elementary school, we had the mile run, and there was one particular student in my class who was a very good runner, but he also knew that he was a good runner. And he would brag and boast and say he's gonna come in first place, and he would tell us about this, you know, weeks before, and it got kind of annoying, if I can just say. But then the day of the mile run came, and again, he was telling everybody how he's gonna win and blow everyone out. And so the race, or the run goes, this is part of gym class, it's not even a race, but part of gym class. And so first lap, he's way out ahead. I mean, he's like sprinting way out ahead of everyone. First lap, he's way ahead. Second lap, he's way out ahead. Third lap, he's still out ahead. And then he puts his one finger in the air like, I'm number one. And then something very interesting happened on the fourth lap, final lap. All of a sudden, his pace slowed down to a slow jog. And lots of people started passing them. And when he crossed the finish line, he wasn't even in the top 10. Now, neither was I, but I couldn't help but be satisfied. Felt like I accomplished something that day. But the point is, there's something about, as humans, that there's a lot of enthusiasm when we start something. And the Bible says in Proverbs that enthusiasm without knowledge is not good. Because knowledge helps us understand that anything worthwhile requires commitment, effort, and endurance. And we know the life of faith is like running a race. There's lots of opportunities, lots of obstacles that try to get us discouraged, difficulties that we have to go through. And so we need the knowledge to know that anything takes commitment, effort, and endurance. We have lots of examples of that. I mean, if you're gonna start a business, there's a lot of enthusiasm at the beginning of a business. But if that business is gonna succeed and you're gonna stay faithful to it over the long term, it's gonna require commitment, it's gonna require effort, endurance. If you're dating someone, if you're engaged, or if you're newly married, you know, at the beginning of a relationship, there's lots of enthusiasm around it, right? But if you're gonna stay married for the long term, for the rest of your life, it's going to take commitment, effort, and endurance. How about yes? Big amen. How long have you been married? She doesn't even know. Too long. If you want to put a budget into practice in your life, that's a great idea. There's a lot of enthusiasm in looking at a spreadsheet, at least for some people, right? But if you're going to live according to a budget, it's going to take commitment, effort, and endurance. How about parents? Parenting. At the beginning, when you have a new baby, oh, there's lots of excitement and enthusiasm. My parents had three sons. Two were above average, one was exceptional. But let me tell you, raising three teenagers took some commitment, effort, and endurance, and a lot of prayers for us. That's what the life of faith is like. We know that. There's always going to be opportunities to give up. And this is why I love the scripture in the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:6. He writes this. He says, I am certain. Everybody say certain. I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God is faithful. That work that he started within you, he'll be faithful to finish it. He's the one that gives you the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. Our God is a God of commitment, effort, and endurance, and he gives us the ability to live out this life of faith. Now, we've been studying the life of Elijah, right? Real human, these real stories. And again, when we look at these stories in the Old Testament, really all throughout scripture, it's not just to give us some advice or some moral lessons to live by. These stories help us understand and reveal who God is, as well as helps us understand and teaches us how we can relate to God. And so last week we looked at how God met Elijah in a moment of deep discouragement where Elijah just wanted to give up living. He said, my life, it's better off for me to be dead just like my ancestors. But God met him in that moment. And God, in this still small voice, this gentle whisper, he let Elijah know that he was with him and that as long as he had breath, God still had an amazing plan for his life. And I believe God is saying the same thing to you today. This still small voice, this gentle whisper saying that God is with you no matter what you're going through, God is with you. And God has an amazing plan and purpose for your life. As long as you are still breathing, God's not done with you. Aren't you thankful for that? And so I want us to look at where we left off last week. Remember, Elijah's kind of complaining to God and saying, I'm the only one left. And, you know, there's just nothing more I can do about this. And I want to pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse 15. And it says this. Then the Lord told him, Lord told Elijah, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi. And if you're pregnant, you're looking for a boy's name, that's a great option, Nimshi, to be the king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. Now, there's a very important moment. Elijah has a decision to make. He just heard these directions and instructions, very specific instructions from the Lord to him, and he has to choose, will he obey or will he ignore? And we all have these moments in life. It's kind of crucial crossroads. We have to make a decision. Are we going to take God at his word and follow it and obey? Or are we going to ignore it thinking our lives are over? And I want you to see how Elijah responds to this. Verse 19, these three words are so powerful. So Elijah went. So Elijah went. He took God at his word and he had the courage to obey. And he went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. And that was just saying, Elisha, you're next. I choose you. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. What was it about Elijah that is such a good example for us to follow? Good example of finishing well. Elijah was this example of someone who had faith in God, trusted him, took him at his word, had the courage to obey his word, his will, his plan, his purpose for Elijah's life. And so as we're learning about Elijah and as we're bringing this series to a close, I want us to look at what was in this, what we could call the spirit of Elijah. And how can it be an example for us to follow? And so here's where we're going to start today. Number one, and I want to encourage you to write this down. If you want to follow Elijah's example, you need to continue to trust and obey the Lord's direction. See, the spirit of Elijah is this spirit to continue. You know what the word continue means? Continue means to go on despite interruption. Have you ever been interrupted? You know, an interruption in life feels, it's unexpected, so it can feel kind of disrespectful. Like, I don't deserve this interruption. Have you ever been interrupted in a conversation? Oh, one of my pet peeves is when somebody interrupts me while I'm talking because it breaks my train of thought, and I can't really afford my thought to be interrupted. But I have to say, more times than I want to admit, I've been guilty of interrupting other people. And so in our home, I have this phrase that I use when somebody interrupts me. I just wait for them to finish, and give them a little smile. And then in a condescending, a little bit of condescending voice, I just say, well, what I was going to say was, and that just lets them know that they interrupted me in a very kind way. They really appreciate that. So you can try that in your home. But just recently, I was in a conversation with Kelly, and she was expressing, you know, trying to process a problem she was facing. And while she was processing the situation, it was like, man, God gave me so much wisdom for her situation, insight. And I was just like, I don't even think she has to finish what she's saying because I can just give her this and it'd be so helpful. And so I waited for that pause, right? That split second pause from one sentence to the next. I think she's done. And I gave her my insight and my wisdom, and she just smiled and was kind of nodding. I was like, man, I think she really appreciates this. And then when I finished, she looked at me and smiled and said, well, what I was going to say, and I was like, oh, there I did it again. But interruptions in life happen, and they feel unexpected, and they feel kind of disrespectful because they're unexpected. How do we respond to those? Elijah was a great example of learning how to continue even in the midst of interruptions, whether they were brought on by himself or by exterior situations, circumstances he was in. But what I find interesting is the reason he could continue is because he was tuned into this gentle whisper of the Lord, reminding him, I'm with you and I still got a plan and purpose for your life. We can continue to trust and obey the Lord's direction. Second thing I see in the spirit of Elijah that I think is a great example for us today is that you need to believe that your best days are ahead, not behind. Believe that your best days are coming. They're not behind you. Just a few weeks ago, our family, the whole Milan clan, all 17 of us were in the Outer Banks at the beach for summer vacation. And it was a beautiful week, really fun to be together for a week. But one morning, I decided to wake up early and walk the beach. So I got up, you know, got out on the beach like 8 a.m. really early for vacation. And I started walking the beach. There's nobody on the shore, only a few people. But I noticed every, 100 yards, there would be a guy fishing. And he'd have his line in the, you know, he's fishing from the shore. So he'd have his line in the water. He'd have a tackle box, a cooler, umbrella to sit on, chair. And so I'd walk by them, and then I'd see another guy fishing, another guy. And I thought, I'm just going to ask these guys. So I'd ask them, say, hey, did you catch anything today? And they're like, no. And then I go to the next guy. Hey, did you catch anything today? And he's like, no. I go to the next one, did you catch anything? No. And I'm like, man, I hope they're not depending on this for food that night. They're not catching anything. And I wonder how that would feel if they were actually dependent on fishing for food or even to provide a living for their family. And then it took me back to the story in Luke 5 when Jesus called Peter to be his disciple. Peter is an experienced fisherman. And the story goes that he fished all night and caught nothing. And in the morning, he was washing his nets and cleaning them, getting ready to put them away. While he's doing that, this rabbi named Jesus is teaching. And Peter's overhearing him while he's preparing his nets to put them away. And when Jesus was all done teaching, he looked at Peter and he said, why don't you go out where it is deeper and cast your nets again? Now, in that moment, Peter had a decision, just like Elijah had. I can just imagine Peter was exhausted, frustrated. I mean, the way he made a living was to catch fish, and he caught nothing that day. And so was he going to listen to this rabbi who probably didn't know anything about fishing? Was he going to listen to him and obey him and follow his direction? And I thought the same thing. If I would have told these guys that were fishing along the shore and said, hey, you didn't catch anything, why don't you cast your line out where it's deeper? It would have sounded crazy. And I think it was probably sounded crazy to Peter, and he had a decision to make. And the decision Peter made, he said, I fished all night, Lord, and I didn't catch anything. But at your word, I will cast the nets again. And if you read the rest of that story, Peter, they caught an abundant catch of fish. But more significant than that, Peter realized that when you have the courage to continue to trust and obey, take the God at his word, not only is there blessing, but it lets you know that God's best days are ahead, not behind. And for Peter, it set his life on a new path where he was not just fishing, not just trying to catch fish, but his life would have an incredible impact of reaching and introducing many people to follow Jesus. When it comes to how we view our past, some people view their past with a negative perspective, and some people view their past with a nostalgic perspective. Think about a negative perspective. You see your past, it's like, oh, you know, nothing good ever happens to me. I take one step forward and it's five steps back. And you just stay in that negative perspective. And that's what Peter could have done. He said, you know, I fished all night. I didn't catch anything. I'm a terrible fisherman. I'll probably never catch anything again. He could have stayed in that negative cycle. But instead, he took Jesus at his word and he followed it. He went out where it was deeper and he caught an abundant catch of fish. That's a negative perspective. Peter didn't live in that negativity. Some people live in nostalgia, right? The good old days. Elijah could have had a nostalgic view, right? He had a lot of amazing experiences. He saw God do incredible miracles. He called down fire from heaven and it came. It was a display of God's power. He could have just stayed there and said, oh, those were the good old days. But that's not what Elijah did. He's tuned into that still small voice. And he knew that God still had incredible plans for him. And he took God at his word. And he believed and obeyed. And his perspective was that the best days, his best days were ahead. And so I would encourage you, do you have a perspective on your past being negative or nostalgia? And I'm here to remind you that your past does not determine your future. And you might be wondering, well, how do you not stay negative, or how do you not stay in nostalgia? How can you have that long view that the best days are ahead? I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Scripture says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. And when we read scripture, there's important to look at, okay, what is it to do? And what can we experience? And in this passage, what do we do or not do? Don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Instead, remember the great reward it brings you. That's our part in this. And then what can we experience? Verse 36 says, patient endurance is what you need now. Why? So that you will continue. There's that word again. Continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Don't throw away this confident trust, but remember, remind yourself, no, God is with you. God's got an amazing plan for you. That means your best days are ahead. So when Elijah chooses Elisha to be his assistant, they work together for about 10 years. Elijah is pouring into Elisha, developing him, giving him opportunities, really to take the ministry and this ministry that Elijah started that God had on his life to carry it to the next generation. It really is a beautiful story of how to pass on what is so valuable from one generation to the next. But there's this very significant moment when Elijah and Elisha are walking together, just the two of them, and it's just moments, Elijah's death is imminent. And so they're having this conversation. They just crossed the Jordan River. And then Elijah turns to Elisha and asks him this very important question. And I want to pick it up here in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away. That's a big question. What can I do for you before I go? Now, Elisha could have said anything. He could have said, well, I could use some more money. Or I'd love to have more opportunities than you have. Maybe double the size of ministry that you had. You know, more influence than you had. Seeing God's miracle working power more than you. He could have asked for anything, but I want you to see Elisha's response. Here's what he said. Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. What did Elisha see in Elijah? That he would ask for a double portion of this spirit that Elijah carried. I think what he saw in Elijah was this spirit of faith, courage, and obedience to God's will. And I believe Elijah was saying, I know that if I'm going to continue this ministry that Elijah started, I'm going to need a double portion of what he had. And you see this beautiful transfer from one generation to the next. And that brings me to my final point today. You want to have this spirit of Elijah? I want us to commit to building a bridge of hope for the next generation. You can build a bridge of hope. Oh, there's lots of bridges you can build for the next generation. I want you to build a bridge of hope and faith and courage for this next generation. The Apostle John said it so well in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, I think it is. He said, I find no greater joy than to see my children, my spiritual children, those who I'm raising up in the faith. I find no greater joy than to see them know and walk in truth. No matter what age you are, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, maybe you're 100. Do we have anybody who's 100? I would love to say hi to you if you're in that age. But whatever age you are, there are always people coming behind you that you can build a bridge of hope for. There's always a next generation coming, no matter what age you are. There's a young lady on our staff here at Worship Center. She's in her mid-20s, and her responsibility is to pastor our Route 56, our fifth and sixth graders. And I'm always inspired when I talk to her because of her optimism about our students. And one time she spoke at our staff meeting, and we have a weekly staff meeting, and sometimes our staff gets a little bit rowdy and a little bit loud during the meeting. And so I talked to her afterwards. I said, you know, you're probably used to that, right? When you're teaching fifth and sixth graders, they're also loud and rowdy. And she said, well, actually, the students are more attentive than the staff was. I was like, oh, sorry about that. But she said, these students are hungry for God's word. They want to know truth. They want to know what it means to follow Jesus with their whole heart. And they are leaned in, wanting to know and discover the purpose God has for them. And it's been so inspiring to me. Her name is Joy. How she, in her mid-20s, she's thinking about, how can I pour in to the students and the young people coming behind me? Be easy for her to be self-centered, self-focused. Why isn't anyone pouring into me? But instead, she is looking at, how can I pour into the next generation? We can all do that. And you might be thinking, oh, I made too many mistakes. I don't really have anything to pour into the next generation. You know what is so helpful to the next generation, whoever's coming behind you? Share your lessons learned from mistakes made. Share how God has been faithful even when you weren't. Share how you've held on to the confident hope and the confident trust in God, that you didn't cast it away, and God held you through some of the toughest moments in your life. See, we all have something we can transfer to the next generation. Build a bridge of hope. Build a bridge of hope, sharing what God has done, how he has been faithful, how he has been, he will be, and he'll continue to be. And you might be saying, well, Matt, how can we be so positive even when there's so much pain in the world? You know, so much evil in the world, and there's so many problems in the world. You know, aren't you concerned about that? Aren't you concerned about inflation being so high? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about those things, but I'm trying to tell us and get us to have our focus on the goodness and the mercy of God. Because no matter what you're facing, God is still on the throne, and he is still making beauty from ashes. And he's still bringing rivers in the desert and roadways in the wilderness. And he's still knocking down giants. He's still raising up young people to serve him and to love him. He's still protecting your children. He's still protecting your young adults and your teenagers. He's still breathing life into those dreams that may seem dead. He still heals the sick. He's still faithful. Even when we or somebody walks away, God is still faithful. And I know I can have this confidence because the one who lives inside of you is greater than anything that comes about against you. That's where our confident trust and our confident hope is established. And I hope that that's where you, how you walk out today, knowing that the one who lives inside of you is more powerful than anything that comes against you. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. Amen. Can we thank God for his word? Oh, I pray that it challenges you and encourages you, reminds you that as long as you still have breath, God has a plan for your life, has a purpose for your life. And would you have the courage to obey his will and his word? Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it breathes life into our soul. It is health to our body and to our minds. It changes the way we think. It shapes our thoughts. It's like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So we thank you for guiding us as individuals, as this community of faith. I thank you for guiding us as a church. I thank you for the vision that you've given us as a church to have, to be good stewards of what you've entrusted to us so that we can be a great blessing to the people around us. God, I pray for those who may be in that third season of life thinking about the good old days. God, would you remind them that you are with them and that you still have an incredible plan and purpose for their life, but it will take commitment, effort, and endurance. God, I pray for our teenagers and our young adults searching and trying to figure out how you wired them, how you created them, what you created them to do, what you created them to be. And God, my prayer is that you would make their path clear. God, remind them that you are with them. You have incredible good plans, plans to prosper them, not to harm them, plans to give them a future and a hope. And I pray that that hope becomes so real they could not deny it and they know it's a gift from you. And Lord, for those who may never have made a decision to follow you, I pray that today would be their day. And so as you keep your heads bowed, I don't want to close our time here without giving you an opportunity to pray this prayer to choose Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. God has an incredible plan and purpose for your life, and maybe you've been trying to figure out life on your own and you've been running into roadblocks. Or maybe you've been living your own life, living for yourself, and life's been really good. And your thought is, I don't think I really need God. The truth is, God has created you. And he's giving you purpose to make a difference in somebody else's life, to have impact. And whatever stage you're in, my prayer is that you would surrender your life to him, repent of your sins, and find the freedom and the peace that can only come from Jesus to fill that void of emptiness that this world tries to fill with so many different things. Only Jesus can fill that and give you peace and give you hope and give you freedom. And so if you're ready to make a decision to follow Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer after me just as a point of commitment. Oh, following Jesus is not about just an enthusiastic decision. It will take commitment, effort, and endurance. But God will give you the strength you need, the desire and the ability to please him with your life. And so if you're ready to make that decision, would you just repeat this prayer after me? And I'm going to invite everyone to pray it just so nobody's praying alone. Would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sins and choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And I know God has good plans for my life that starts today. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you know that was a commitment you needed to make today, a recommitment, I want to invite you to do something that takes a lot of courage. Our ushers have a gift for you, and in that gift, there's a Bible and some other material. Would you have the courage just to put your hand in the air till an usher sees you? This is a decision to follow Jesus is one we want to celebrate, so just keep it up until they can hand you that gift. And then after the service, I want to invite you to stop by one of our connections rooms. We have a team of people there that would love to talk with you, pray with you. Whatever we can do, we want to help you grow, because this journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. I saw a few hands. Can we thank God for these individuals who made a decision? You know, just last Sunday, between our two services, 11 people made the decision to follow Jesus. So if you made a decision today, I just want you to know you're not alone at the beginning stages of this. And there may be a lot of enthusiasm, excitement. There may be also maybe questions. That's why I love the local church. And that's why I encourage you to get connected into this church. You might look around and think, oh, everybody's got life figured out, got faith figured out. But the thing is, we grow together. And I want you to get connected to some people who have experienced some stuff. And their faith is still standing intact. And so again, I want to encourage you to stop by our connections room and talk to someone in there. We'd love to pray with you. All right, well, are you thankful for God's word? Are you thankful that you came today? I am too. We'll have a prayer team down front here. We'd love to pray with you. If you're facing something that seems impossible, I just want to remind you, God can do the impossible. Have somebody pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. And if you're new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections as well. Would you all stand? I just want to pray a blessing over you before you go. So would you just bow your heads one more time? God, I thank you for every person here, those joining us online. I'd pray your blessing on them. God, I thank you for the plan and purpose that you have for their life. I pray for the spirit of Elisha to fill them. This spirit filled with faith, courage, obedience, to not shrink back, to not listen to the voice of the critics, to not just stay in a time of disappointment, but to take a risk and take you out of word, knowing that their best days are ahead. God, I thank you for you're still making beauty for ashes. God, I have to thank you that you're still healing the sick and you're still blowing your wind, this life, into those dead things. I thank you, God, that you are providing roadways for the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And you're still breaking addictions, breaking those chains that can hold people back, setting the captives free. And so I pray as every person walks out today that would walk out free, encouraged, and whole in you. And I pray that in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. Amen. Don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. So go out this week and passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life. Let's stay connected this week. Have a great week.